From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network. Dr. Ronald Crystal from the Weill Cornell Medical College in New York City is interviewed by Gen's editor-in-chief John Sterling about a gene therapy approach that slowed the progression of a fatal neurodegenerative disease in children.
Dr. Ronald Crystal is a professor of genetic medicine and an attending physician at the Weill Cornell Medical College in New York City. His research group's major focus is on in vivo gene transfer. Dr. Crystal and his team just published an important research paper online and ahead of print in the May 2008 issue of Human Gene Therapy. The paper, entitled Treatment of Late Infantile Neuronal Ceroid Lipofuscinosis by CNS Administration of a Serotype 2 Adeno-Associated Virus Expressing CLN2-cDNA, is available free of charge at www.libertpub.com/HUM. Dr. Crystal, before we go into the details of your work, what were the key results of your team's study?
Well, we carried out a clinical study with gene therapy of a rare neurologic condition that affects about 200 children around the world. It's referred to as late infantile neuronal ceroid lipofuscinosis. It's also referred to as LINCL or sometimes Batten disease. And this is a fatal disorder. These children, when they're young, age 3 or 4, begin to develop symptoms, and it's universally fatal by the time they're 10. And what we did was we know what the gene is that's abnormal in this disease, and we worked out ways to administer the gene in a virus to the brain with the goal of being able to stabilize the disease so there was not this progressive loss of brain cells. And the key result was that it appears, it's a small study, but it appears that there's a slowing down of the progression of the disease, which was the goal of the study.
What were some of the symptoms of the disease?
The disease usually begins when children are about 3 to 4 years old, and they begin to develop neurologic symptoms. For example, they may be losing their balance, or they may have a seizure, something that brings them to the physician's attention. And then eventually the diagnosis is made. This is a rare disease, and sometimes it takes several months before the diagnosis is made. It's caused by mutations, that is, abnormalities in the gene. The child gets the abnormal gene from both parents. Having one abnormal gene does not cause the disease. You have to get it from both parents. And if that's the case, usually when they're 3 to 4, they begin to develop these neurologic symptoms that then are progressive and eventuating in death.
Which type of gene therapy approach did you use, and why did you choose this particular method?
Well, the effective way to do gene therapy is to put the gene, the normal gene, into a virus. We use the virus as a Trojan horse to carry the gene into the brain cells. Because this is a hereditary disorder, we want to be able to have the gene expressed, that is, to function forever for within the brain. And so we chose a virus called adeno-associated virus. This is a small virus in the class of viruses called parvoviruses. It does not cause any human disease. And we took out the genes within the virus and put in the missing gene from this disorder. So we're essentially using the shell of the virus to, like a truck, to carry the gene into the brain cells. And this particular method was chosen because this virus does not cause adverse effects. It's been used now in a number of human studies. And so our immune systems do not see it as being very foreign. And so we think this virus is a safe way to do it. And in addition, it stays within the brain cells, and so that for the lifetime of the cell, it expresses the normal gene. So it has all the characteristics that we need to be able to theoretically cure a disease like this.
The most positive finding of this study, obviously, was your team's ability to demonstrate a slowing of the progression of this fatal neurodegenerative disease in children. What other medical or scientific benefits were you able to take away from the study?
Well, the biggest challenge for carrying out a study like this is how do you administer genes to the brain? The brain is encased in our skull, the bony skull, and so you can't give a gene or this virus by the blood stream and expect it to go to the brain. So we had to learn to be able to administer genes in the virus directly to the brain. And we did this by under general anesthesia in the operating room for the children to have small holes placed in the skull and small, very fine, flexible glass catheters that were placed directly into the brain and then infuse the virus with the normal gene over a period of about 3 hours. So this is not only applicable to this particular disease, but the general technology that we developed to be able to do it is widely applicable to other neurodegenerative disorders. And being able to do this and do it safely is something that will help other investigators and developing methodologies to treat other neurodegenerative diseases.
Were there any side effects observed in the study, and were any attributable to the gene therapy technique?
Well, we had a number of side effects because it requires surgery. The children under general anesthesia for 5 to 6 hours. They go to the intensive care unit afterwards. And so, as typical for that kind of surgery, independent of the gene therapy, there are all kinds of adverse effects. But there were none that we could definitely attributable to the gene therapy itself. We did have one death in this study that occurred 49 days after the administration of the virus. The child, 2 weeks after the administration, developed seizures that would not stop. We could not attribute it to the virus, but it is possible it was due to the virus. It also could have been done due to the surgery or the natural history of the disorder. We did not see that again in any of the subsequent children. This was the fourth child in the study. So the first three children, we did not see that. And the subsequent six children, we did not see that. So we were not able to definite on the virus or not. So it still is a question for that particular child.
In your paper, the final section discusses the challenges that remain for successful gene therapy for LINCL. What are these challenges, and what are your plans for moving this research forward?
The biggest challenge is the brain is a sizable organ, and we're limited by the number of holes that we can place in the skull, the number of catheters that we can place in the brain, the length of time of the general anesthesia. And so we need to use vehicle, that is the viruses, that are very freely diffusible across the brain because we want to get as much as the brain as possible. So in parallel with carrying out this clinical study in the laboratory, we've been developing better ways to do it. And we now have another adeno-associated virus, a different so-called serotype that is a somewhat different outside shell of the virus that is much more effective in terms of experimental animals, in terms of for the same dose, in terms of moving across the brain and getting the normal gene into many more cells. We have progressed rapidly with evaluating that, both from an efficacy point of view as well as from a toxicology point of view, and we hope to move the new virus with the same gene to a new clinical study within the next year.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast, or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. New GenCasts are posted every week, Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghaus, saying thanks for listening. and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.